Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith here with Greg Pickle. This is our Ask Greg segment. I think we took a break from it last week because Greg wasn't here and nobody cares what Andy thinks. So Greg's back. We're going to take your Penn State football and recruiting questions. We will take your questions any way you want to give them to us, but usually we have the Ask Greg button on the Keystone Sports app. That's where most of our questions come from. So if you don't have the Keystone Sports app, go download it now. Just search for Keystone Sports in your app store. You can also send them by email, info@ksnsports.net. And on Twitter, @ksnsportsnet, or just go to @GregPickle directly. We'll take your questions there as well. We've got some good ones this week. Some recruiting theme questions, which we usually get, but coming off National Signing Day, I think these are especially relevant. We're going to start with Bill from Philadelphia. Says, hey, Greg, during his recruitment, Penn State reportedly told Micah Parsons he can also play running back. With the lack of depth at linebacker, do you still believe he will get that opportunity?
No, I don't think so. I mean, could you see a special play or two, like something come up where they allow him to carry the ball or have some kind of special play set up for him or a package? Yeah, I could see that. But, I mean, look, I don't think that that's going to be – that was not the end-all be-all in his recruitment, even though it might have been made out to be at one point. But I don't think you'll see him play any running back during his time at Penn State in a consistent way. Like I said, you might see him line up for a play or two here or there, but consistently, Dustin, I just don't see it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, is that formally – this will not be an arrangement. It will not be something that you see him a slash RB next to his name on the depth chart or anything. But I think it'll be interesting to plug him in there, especially if they're gonna continue down the lion role path that they've created for Tommy Stevens, whether Tommy Stevens is here or not. There are gonna be plays that call for his unique type of athleticism and power, and he can run the football with the kind of power that Penn State just doesn't have. So there yep. will be a usage for that, just the same way that there'll be a usage for Micah Parsons rushing off the edge. There'll be used for him dropping back into coverage.
Yep.
You don't bring in that kind of athleticism and not use it to its fullest. And I think that will involve some offensive touches, just not a formal role. I agree there. Mike from Lake Winola. Hey, Greg, from past data under Franklin, Penn State hasn't really exaggerated on the depth chart their dimensions. And I thought the same thing, that, you know, some of these numbers, like maybe Trace McSorley's height is a little embellished. But
yeah.
for the most part, they haven't really lied about weights. And he cites, Mike May cites from Nick Tarburton listed at 260, C.J. Thorpe checking in close to 330, weight almost at 200. He also thinks it's great to see Michael Mennett building enough to crack three bills, too. So he wonders what we make of those numbers.
Oh, I was going to say, what's the question there? Well, I would say this, that, well, if you listened earlier in the week, we talked about C.J. Thorpe, and I just can't. He's going to be a monster. There's no question about that. Some of these other guys, of course, are going to have some big weight changes and be impact players, too. I think the thing I make of it is that when you get – so Dwight Galt knows what he's doing, and he's maybe one of the most underrated parts of the Penn State program. I mean, these guys, when they get on campus, him and his staff have a very specific plan for each of them, and they go about their workout in a way that builds them up quickly and gets rid of the bad weight if they have any and immediately starts to put on the good weight. So I think that, you know, those numbers are very impressive, and they're only going to get better. Wait until the spring roster is released. It's going to be mind-blowing, I think, to see how far some of these guys come.
Yeah, I think they are interesting for sure, the January enrollees. The plan for Lamont Wade to move to safety would allow him to – because he's a pretty stout, wide-shouldered kind of kid anyway. And then he arrived last January not knowing how to lift weights. And so it makes sense for him to start pushing 200-plus. To have him – at 5'9", or where they list? I think they list him at
5'9". Yep.
At safety, he could be built pretty strong back there. It could be a physical presence. I like all this stuff. Nick Tarburton, where he ends up, I don't know. I think you'll see him at linebacker in 2018. I don't think any kind of transition happens with him now.
Right.
But I think in the future, if he's going to keep, because he's a big frame guy too, if he's going to be at 260 now, this is about as far as he can go, I think, and stay at linebacker. If he goes any further, you'll have to see him make that transition. No matter how much, you know, we mentioned earlier in the week, Shaka Toney being light at defensive end. Also, Cam Brown being tall for linebacker. He's tall and thinner than Nick Tarburton is. But I wouldn't be stunned to see, and I'll use this comparison again, you see some of these big 3-4 outside linebackers in the NFL who weigh well over 260 pounds, who can make the grade and move. It wouldn't be crazy, given James Franklin's trajectory and his desire to fit all these square pegs in round holes, so to speak, to see Nick Tarburton as a jumbo linebacker. No, I wouldn't be stunned by that.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I talked to his head coach back when he committed, and this is what he said. He said, Coach Franklin has talked about that with him, that being potentially moving to defensive line from linebacker. And he said, we'll put you down at defensive end. If you get bigger, we'll put you at defensive end. And he certainly is up for that. He'd like his first shot to be at linebacker, but I could also see him as a rush end. I mean, that's who the kid is. If he's going to outgrow it, then there's not going to be really much of a choice. But if he's in a situation where he can change that weight just a little bit, you could see him playing up. I don't know. To me, Dustin, he's already at 260, man. He's going down.
We'll see. We'll see who's right about that one. That's the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg. We're taking your Penn State football and Penn State recruiting questions. If you don't know how to submit a question for Greg, go download the Keystone Sports app. There's an Ask Greg button. There's also an Ask Ross button. Don't do that. Ask Greg questions here. Jason from Lansdale.
What's a prize for Ross is over, right? So maybe they should do that.
The prize for you is having their name on air associated so closely with
Fair
Greg
point.
Pickle. That money cannot buy that prize. All right, a little bit of money can buy that prize.
Yeah.
Jason from Lansdale wonders, will Ricky Ronnie do anything different from Joe Moorhead to increase success in short yardage? Are there any backs on the roster with the size and strength to excel in short yardage? I'm expecting a lot of quick slants to Juwan Johnson in short yardage this year. Short yardage, the theme of the day for Jason.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that when I look at how it plays out with the Ricky Ronnie and what he did in the Fiesta Bowl, I think that you're going to see, well, I guess they have to find a tight end first, but you're going to see the tight end get involved a lot, I think, with the, in a kind of a way that the Eagles use Zach Ertz and Brent Celek, is it? And Trey Burton to an extent, too. But, you know, I think you're going to see them do a lot of short yardage stuff over the middle, slants, like little things like that that Joe Moorhead did do, but maybe not as much. And I think that part of that was because Mike Gesicki was so good at going downfield that why waste time doing 3 yards when you can go get 30? But, yeah, I think that's certainly possible. And Juwan Johnson, I mean, let's talk about a guy that, you know, he could arguably make the biggest step forward of anybody in this coming 2018 season. I mean, he's obviously has a name for himself already, but man, Dustin, every time you see him, he just keeps looking better and better and better. And I think that's going to go a long way towards showing the fact that this is a guy that can go out and compete at the NFL level. And I think he's going to be Penn State star this year. I really do.
Yeah, I think maybe Jason was wondering here, is Penn State going to have a fullback on its roster? I'm just reading the writing on the wall. Under center fullback action under Ricky Ronnie.
Penn State will have short yardage packages that do not include a fullback and do not go under center. So,
by the way, if you're interested in submitting a question for Greg Pickle and you go to his Twitter page at Greg Pickle, pinned at the top of
it's
that
still
page,
there, buddy.
Has something to do with exactly this.
Yes.
But, yeah, I don't think that conceptually we're going to see anything terribly different under Ricky Ronnie. You got a taste of it in the bowl game.
Yeah.
And it didn't look a lot different. So how creative are they going to get in short yardage? Maybe the slants of Juwan Johnson will be a thing.
Well, definitely the fullback won't be a thing. Here's a neat one I just got talking about Twitter. I'll throw this one out there to you quick. Just take a quick detour. But the guy wants to know what number could players start request. What will be the next number players want to request? So number 11, Micah Parsons, LeVar Arrington. His question is, will 26 become that number with Saquon Barkley? Because no one has it right now. None of the new players took it. Will Ricky Slade take it? Was it possible that he wears number 26? Or were they just no one, you know, will no one take number 26? That's an interesting question. He also is wondering if people will start requesting Mike Munchak's number. I don't think so, but maybe. But
I don't think you have that Barkley many Penn State history buffs coming at 17 years old right now. But
the Barkley thing's interesting. It is. Who will take 26 next? I didn't think about that, but it's an interesting idea.
Well, you have Jonathan Sutherland who has it.
Right, yeah, right. On that side of the ball.
According to the Cleveland Browns, he is draft eligible. yeah,
that's right.
He will be picked in the top five picks somewhere. They used him as Saquon Barkley in one of their graphics, which is the most Cleveland Browns thing ever. So Sutherland is there. How many in January enrollees did they have? Six. So there's still 17 players in the class who do not have numbers who might be in the market for 26. I think 26. 22 is retired.
Right.
The only number, right, to be retired.
Correct.
Other than that, I don't think that there's a hot number based on Penn State history or tradition.
Right.
Anyway, that's just traditional numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, 11 is the number, right?
Yeah,
in Penn State history, 11 is the number.
Yeah.
It has more weight than anything. And Micah Parsons, we mentioned this earlier in the week, has the most LeVar-like capabilities of anybody I think I've seen in a long time come to Penn State. Doesn't mean he's going to back up all that hype. There's no guarantee for anything. Just pure core physical attributes and skills. Micah Parsons has the ability to wreck plays in unique ways that might not have seen since LeVar Arrington.
No question about it, Dustin.
But yeah, after that, I'm not sure if there is a big number. Jay from Lidditz wonders, what's up with butts? And I'll say, Jay, I like big ones, and I cannot lie. You other brothers can deny.
Okay.
That's as far as I'll go with that.
That's where we're at this point.
He's referring to Shaquon Anderson butts.
Yeah.
But the way he phrased his question just had me going there. Wow. So Butts ended up signing with the JUCO. Did not arrive at Penn State. It sounds like he's somebody who wants to consider Penn State when he makes that JUCO leap, hopefully, in a year or two. But this question, I think, came before National Signing Day, but it's another one of the, I would say, a miss maybe in this class, but it contributes to James Franklin wishing he had another wide receiver and another safety. He could have been either one.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that when I look at it, and I went out to Harrisburg Signing Day ceremony last week, and Shaquon was pretty emotional about, you know, everything that happened, and all the kids announced where they were going, and he announced that, I was supposed to go to Penn State, but things didn't work out, and he got pretty upset, and he said he's going to Iowa Western Community College. But I'll tell you what, he's not the first guy to have to bounce back from something like this. I do think he will bounce back from something like this. I guess the question I have is, will Penn State be an option, or will he look elsewhere? Will he play defensive back, or will he play receiver? They're still trying to decide that. A lot of things to consider before you get too far down the road with his future, but definitely a kid to root for moving forward.
Yeah, he'll have a year or two, and sometimes the odds are stacked against you. You root for a kid to get back to Division I one way or another, maybe at Penn State. Iowa Western will also have a chance to cultivate where he starts. And I have a hard time believing if he's a safety there, he's a wide receiver at Penn State. All right, we're moving on. We got one more segment to go here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Going to talk some Penn State hoops with Jeff Brown. Stick around. Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can. When you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.